Yeah. Luke 8. There's something I believe very important that we're going to communicate this morning. Let's read from Luke. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, as Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then the disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you," meaning Jesus' disciples, "it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Mysteries of the kingdom of God. Why wouldn't you make it obvious what the kingdom of God is? Why? Hold on, everyone. Wait there. Let's just think. Hold on. Now, we've read it before, but we're not just reading it again. We want to know what it means. Now, let's just apply logic. Oh, and by the way, while we're on the subject of logic, how do we come to God? Most Christians would answer by faith. Well, I would say that you can come to God by logic. The evidence is there. Interestingly, the Apostle Paul agrees with me. It says so in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We come to God through logic. The evidence of the world shows us, creation itself shows us that God exists and God created. The evidence is there. If a fool can't work out what came first, the chicken or the egg, I've got the answer. What came first, the chicken or the egg? God created chickens to lay eggs. It's simple. But fools, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, There is no God. So fools, we mustn't be over charitable with the world sometimes. You know that the Bible isn't, you know. Mamby-pambying around. Fools can't work it out. We've worked it out because we're God's children. He's our Father, and He's the one who created us. Now, we can come to God by logic. The evidence that we see around us would lead us to God if we are thinking straight. And what people often do is say, oh, well, you've got to have faith to believe in God. Oh, no, 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 no. You need more faith not to believe in God because all the evidence is pointed to God. You're exercising more faith. And why are you exercising faith in that thing, the unbeliever we're speaking to? Well, because their wickedness wants them to have a license not to believe in God because they want to be getting on with their wickedness. And once they accept that there is a God who created, they then have to accept that God has put morality in place, and God has put ethics in place, and God has put His standard for mankind in place. But you see, they try and lose themselves in complicated scientific notions and theories, because that way they can live a compromised life, or they think they can anyway. They don't get away with it. But you follow the law, you follow? So we come to God that way. And that's an important thing to remember when you're sharing what we're going to find out is very important to share, which is the kingdom. Okay? So important to say that at this point. Now, why does Jesus say it though? It's very interesting. He says, to you it has been given, verse 10 of Luke 8, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. At another time, Jesus says, I don't want to make it too obvious, I paraphrase, I don't want to make it too obvious, or else they may turn and follow. What? That goes against all human logic. We'd say, you know, the church is there trying to make it so easy for people, you know, or you just anything. No, God doesn't do that. God isn't doing that. The kingdom, the secrets of the kingdom are this. You don't understand, you're not meant to understand. Or you can't see it, you're not meant to see it. I'm not going to spend hours explaining it. You don't get it, you don't get it. You're not meant to. God hasn't revealed it. I move on. And when we have that perspective, we're in line with the scripture. It's a different perspective than most have. Watch what he goes on to say. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. What's the seed? It's the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil comes and takes it out of their hearts. That's one of his missions. When the word is being sown here this morning, by the time you reach that doorway to go into the foyer, brace yourself. Because someone, they may be well-meaning. You may well consider them a friend, because we are all friends here this morning. Brothers and sisters. But someone may come, used of the devil, speak something that's thing, and rob that which was sown in your heart. He says, the devil comes and takes every word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Because I don't know who is saved and who isn't saved. Even here this morning. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fall among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. We'd like to be in church today, but it's such a sunny day and we haven't had a picnic for ages. There's people who think like that. Hard to imagine, but there are people who consider themselves Christians. They think along those lines, bless their darlings. And bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart. Who wants a noble and good heart? Put your hand up. A noble and good heart. Yes, that's me. I've got a noble and good heart. What a lovely expression. Isn't that lovely? A noble and good heart. Anyone righteous here this morning? Oh, glory to God. That's what I like to see. People thinking right. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The devil has us thinking we're poor, lowly, miserable sinners. We're not. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says this, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Notice it says, bear fruit with patience. I was talking this week, we were having a nice conversation about seasons. There are seasons in the scriptures. The scriptures use seasons. Seed time, harvest, New Testament, sowing, reaping, seasons. But you know what? We get to choose the season of our life. Because the scriptures say, today is the day of salvation. Salvation comes into my life when I say, yes, I accept that salvation. And we know that that word is a Greek word that means nothing missing, nothing broken, complete in Christ. We also know, don't we? And we can choose that, can't we? We can choose to follow and say yes to the Lord's salvation. We can choose to believe that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Or we can be falsely humble people who aren't really yielding to what the word says, but they're humble in their own minds. You know, they've invented a Christianity. It's nothing to do with the scripture. But, they, you know, it makes them feel humble, you know, religious. Miserable religion, you know, and they come, you know, po-faced, like some Dickensian character, you know, a Uriah Heep type figure. I'm not worthy. Bless the darlings. So let's unpack. Let's break this down. The seed is the word of God. Well, how do you sow that seed? How do you sow it? Through your mouth. You sow it through the mouth. That's how this is. Now, the secrets of the kingdom. Amen? We're taking the secrets on board this morning, folks. Amen. Well, to take on the secrets of the kingdom, we understand what it says. And what it's saying is this, the word is sown. The word of God is sown through our mouths. We speak the word of God out through our mouths. That's sowing the word of God. The sower comes to sow his seed. Whose seed? His seed. Who's his seed? Whoever has the word of God. Whoever has that seed. You and I, if we are believers in him, have that seed. It's your seed. It's my seed. It's the word of God. We all have that seed. And where do we sow it? It's not just the preacher on a Sunday, is it? No. We sow it throughout the week. We sow it with our family. We sow it with our friends. We sow it with our enemies. We sow it whatever we're doing. We can sow that seed at all the opportunities we have throughout the week. We can just be sowing that seed. The question is, how big is your bag? How much seed have you got in your bag? Now, when I have been sowing seed in my garden, which is a project, I bought these flower seeds. I thought I'd try it. I made the mistake of believing what it said on the packet. And it said, you simply just do this. You mix the seed in with some soil. You just mix and you just throw it on, and then they'll just grow wildflowers. I thought, what a beautiful thing. Nice and easy for me. So I'll try that. Well, I thought, well, what sort of size bag should I try? Well, they get quite expensive with those big bags. I thought, well, I'll just buy a modest size one and see how that goes, you know. Well, I only had a small amount, and I mixed it all in, and then I started to, well, it didn't cover much ground at all. But what I found out was when you've only got a small amount of seed, you're a bit limited with where you put it. You're just a little bit there, maybe. Ooh, I did quite well over there. I spread some over there. I just spread a little bit there now. Oh, it'd be nice to have a few in. I'll just go like that. That's what you do when you've got a little bit of seed. Now, if I had had a huge, big, fat, full sack of the thing, I'd have just been going like this, wouldn't I? Well, how does God want us to spread his seed? Have plenty of it up there. And that will cause plenty of it to come out of there, because the Bible teaches us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's the crop? The hundredfold. Let's just put our hands up if we want to. At least 100-fold. I mean, you know, that's lovely, isn't it? 100-fold. You like a nice harvest? Oh, you like a modest harvest. You want just a little bit for me. Oh, just I just only a small little bit for me. I'll be happy with a small bit. You notice how God speaks? 100-fold. Oh, not 75% would be great for me. No. It's 100-fold. He's big. God is big. He's got big plans. He's big. His kingdom is big. It's 100-fold. Yes, it's people entering the kingdom, for sure. It's people that we've spoken to. It's people that we've led to the Lord. That's the harvest. In this context, But this is spoken of many times in the scripture, along the same lines, sowing and reaping. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. What? The fruit thereof. What? The fruit thereof. The fruit thereof. So, we can expect souls, yes, but also we can expect the blessings of God in our lives. This pertains to the blessings of God. Sowing the word of God is there, yes, for people to come into the kingdom, but yes, also for me to be blessed in my life. When I'm sowing the word of God over my life, in my life, it's a blessing all around. Many manifestations of a hundredfold blessing. God isn't restricted. You know, they say that with DNA, there's a genetic code. And if you want to find out, you know, about the DNA structure in genes and things, you find out that your, you know, your attributes come from your father and mother. You'll have similarities based on the coding of this DNA. It comes through the family. Well, now, we have been given DNA, if you like, as the church, because the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is what? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have his DNA. He spoke to us about his similarities to Christ in the New Testament. Love is perfected among us in this. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. Who's the he? Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Sometimes you can look at a child and you can see the father very clearly. Now, he's saying to us, listen, when I began earth, he says, I spoke it into existence. He spoke it into existence. Let there be light. There's light. He spoke it. We have his DNA. We're structured, formed in the same way. He's called us to speak his words as his body manifesting on planet Earth. You think about this. You know, the news is very bad. You know, I don't watch the news. I like the good news. But it leaks in, doesn't it? Something, you hear something, this thing comes, that thing. And the bad news. Well, now, Jesus said to us in the Lord's Prayer, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, that tells us that he's given us a responsibility. Jesus doesn't, oh, here's a little suggestion, you know, maybe this will help. No, no, no. This is a prayer from Almighty God manifest on planet Earth as Jesus our Christ. And he's teaching us what his will is. And he's saying, my will is the manifest heaven on earth. And you are my body to make that come to pass. But because people haven't understood and taken in the truth of their capacity and power in God, and people have become religious, and the religion of Christianity hasn't really empowered people into Bible truths. In fact, it's robbed people from Bible truths. And what God is saying to us is this. He's saying, listen now, I charged you with a responsibility. I empowered you from on high with the Holy Spirit, the same resurrection power that saw me rise up is in you. You know, we had a call from someone. They couldn't make it to church on Resurrection Sunday, even though there was a lift for them. You know why they couldn't make it? They couldn't get out of their bed. And I had to think to myself, how ironic. We're celebrating Jesus rising from the grave. And we have some who say they follow him, but they can't get up out of their bed. What's wrong with that picture? Listen, he's saying to us, look, I've charged this responsibility for you. You live now manifesting heaven on earth through your lives. It doesn't happen if we don't allow the word to shape our thinking. It doesn't happen unless we allow the word to shape our thinking and put a demand on ourselves and say, no, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to stop thinking that way. I'm going to stop speaking that way. I'm going to think and speak with the discipline that's appropriate to following Jesus as a disciple of Christ. Yes, I've had negative things. Yes, I've had bad experience. Yes, I've got 1,000 excuses why I am the way I am. But the Bible says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we manifest his given will in every situation so that the kingdom comes in. I move on very quickly. Let's read from Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 26. It says this, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. Thought, pause. What does the Greek say? The Greek says, automatos. Automatos in the Greek. Let me read it again. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. But the point is, the soil produces crops by itself. In the kingdom of God, you and I are responsible for sowing the seed. The soil will produce the crop by itself. That's not our business. So all of these books on church growth and church growth experts and the rest of it, nonsense. Most of it is a nonsense. Okay, I can figure out that if you've got a big car park and a massive facility, it's probably good. But the kingdom is a bit different. Because in another parable, which we won't turn to now, perhaps we'll turn there this evening, it says this, that the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's a very small thing. It starts off very small. And then what happens? It grows. And it grows over time. And over time, it becomes this huge tree, this huge thing that can provide shelter, safety, peace, security, a home for the birds. Now watch what happens. It starts off as a very small seed. So he says to us this. He says, listen, you work for the kingdom. Your work is to sow the seed. You just speak it out. Speak it to your family. Speak it to your friends. Speak it out. Have it in on the inside, and then you speak it out. And then you can just rest. That's the only responsibility God has given us. We don't have to badger it or stand over it and try and talk, come on, now grow, come on, grow. You know, annoying the thing. We don't need to waste our time doing that. We just speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. God has preordained it with the DNA that causes growth to take place. Like he's pre-programmed you and I with the DNA for growth to take place. We start off a small little in mummy's womb, like a little grain of rice. And it grows and grows and grows, even smaller than that. But, you know, it grows and grows. Isn't that something? The question is this, are we speaking those seeds? What comes out of there is a seed. It's going to be a good seed if it's for the kingdom and yielded to the kingdom. Or it's going to be a bad seed if it's not yielded to the kingdom. Now, we don't want to be sowing bad seeds, do we? We want to be sowing what God has given us to sow. Encouraging words, life-giving words, building one another up. You know, blessing one another, spurring one another on, believing in one another, supporting one another. That's what we're to do for one another. And then when we're out there, we're to have courage. Notice the word courage. We're to have courage to speak those seeds in those people out there. Don't they get offended so easily? Aren't they quick to turn against us? Who likes it when people turn against you? Anyone really thrilled for that? Who likes people when people get angry at you? Come on, put your hand up. You really enjoy it. You like it when people get angry.
One day, one lady said, go and do something. Go to work. And just give her some time. So she come and go and do some work. I said, I work Monday to Friday, weekend, I do this.
Oh, bless you, Gajon. Bless you, yeah. But she was angry because you were sowing the seeds. That's what it does, isn't it? That's what it does. It induces that anger in people. That's what happens. And then what happens is those people have been at least given the seed. It's sown then. And sometimes the testimonies that we hear in hindsight show that those people themselves didn't realize, but the kingdom of God would start to grow in them. They didn't even know it themselves. They didn't expect it themselves. Maybe you've got a testimony like that, or you know of people. Someone spoke the word to them. Something happened. God was ministering to them. God was drawing them. And the next thing you know, they're starting on the kingdom journey. They didn't even expect it. But someone is sowing the word. You see? So that's what he's called us to do. Now, when we engage in it, what's going to happen is We're going to see great things happen. You know, the Apostle Paul said, one waters, another reaps, but God causes it to grow. Cast the seed onto the soil. You know, there's evangelists that I know of who, year after year of evangelism, they've been out in the same places, and they're out there in the streets, and they're, you know, evangelizing. And I ask them, well, how many people have you led to the Lord? Oh, lots of prayer, you know, little prayers. But can you point to someone? Just one person who is now following Jesus that you know of after years of evangelism that is now following Jesus. Just one. And bring him to church so we can see. No, can't do it. Well, I just wonder then, you know, I just think to myself, well, hold on a sec. The sower sows the seed where? Where does the Bible say he sows the seed? Does he sow it in the stone? Soil. That's it. So how does he know it's soil and not stone? He has to use this. Well, if you've been sowing in the same place year after year after year, sow some more seed. I mean, use your brains. Maybe it's time for a move. Move to a different patch of ground. You're sowing on stone. Unless God has really told you to just be there and, you know, there's some reason that only he and you know of. That could happen. But certainly in terms of this illustration, the sower needs the discernment to discern that looks like it's a potential ground that might see some growth. I'm going to sow the seed that I have in that place. Doesn't mean that we just sow it anyhow. You know, I didn't buy the seed from the garden center, took it home in my garage, take it out. I can't wait to sow this. I just throw it around the garage. You know, that's all. Let's hope I have a good old crop. Yeah, I'd love to see some flowers in the garage. No! I'm going to think and sow the seed where I think there's a potential for growth. Let there be at least soil there. And so you see, he's saying to us, listen, you speak the word of God. This is a kingdom work. You speak the kingdom words of God. You speak it, but you speak it when you have a discernment that there may be soil. Not stones and, you know, no, soil. And when you do, there's a guarantee. Just like the guarantee we mentioned earlier in the service about all these things will be added unto you. There's a guarantee of a hundredfold crop when we do this. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. It's a guarantee, folks, because it's God who guarantees it. And that's why it's good for us to discern the secrets of the kingdom. See, many times we read things, but we haven't really understood the implications of those things that we've read. As we explore into the kingdom more and more, we start to glean more and more of what it means and the application, so that in our lives, in this church, we'll see the manifestation of his kingdom. We're starting off as a mustard seed. We see growth taking place. The growth takes place downward first. When the good root system is in place, there's more and more evidence on the surface. Praise be to God. Amen. There's so much more to go into. I've barely touched the surface here, but it's time that we need to close this morning service. Let's stand, shall we? He's so wonderful. He's so worthy to be praised, isn't he?
Amen.
Oh, let me tell you, everyone here, listen, he loves you so much. He's got plans for you. He loves you so much. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Listen, you remember it. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try and perhaps steal this word that's been sown in your heart this morning. We've read about it, haven't we? Don't let him do it. Father God, we thank and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Every one of us in this room right now, we thank you for your love for us, Father. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, you're so worthy to be praised. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're so beautiful, Lord. Lord, we want you to have your way among us. Whatever you want, Lord, to close this service, just have your way, Father God. Oh, Father God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Speak to each one in this place. Each one, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank and praise you. Now, as God is ministering to your heart, every eye closed, no one looking around. As God is ministering to your heart, just respond to him this morning. Lift your hand up if God has spoken to you about something, a change, a different perspective. God's spoken to you. Take it on board and acknowledge it by lifting your hand. I see hands raised. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Beautiful, beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior. Oh, he's so beautiful. Precious brothers and sisters, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We love you, Lord. And we yield our lives to you. Have your way with us every day of our lives, that your will be done in and through us, your body on planet Earth. Oh, we praise you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Just a tender time of worship then. We're going to sing Alleluia just gently at the front. No one, if you want to leave, feel free, be excused. But if you need prayer for something, you want to come down to the front, you feel free. You come down now, and we just close these last few minutes singing worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Beautiful Lord Jesus.